Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, the Island of Jambudvip, text number 23. Kalpa Ayusham Stana Jayat Puna Bhavat Bhavat Shana Ayusham Bharata Bhu Jaya Vaam Bharam Shanena Martyena Kritam Manasvina Sanyasya Samyat Abhayam Padam Hare Kalpayusham Stana Jayat Punar Bhavat Shanayusham Bharata Bhujayovaram Shanena Martyena Kritam Manisvina Sanyasya Sam Yatyabhayam Padam Hare Kalpayusham Stana Jayat Punar Bhavat Shanayusham Bharata Bhujayovaram Shanena Martyena Kritam Manisina Sanyasya Samyatya Vayam Padam Hare Payusham Sajayat Punarbhavat Yusham Bharata Bhujayovaram Sanyasya Samyantya Bhayam Padam Hare. Ladies. Hayusam Stanayat Puna Purat. Shanayusam Bharata Bhujayovaram. Shanena Martyena Kritam Manisvinam. Sanyasa prasam yat yabayam padam hare kalpa ayusham. Of those who have a life duration of many millions of years, like Lord Brahma, stana jayat, then achievement of the place or planetary systems. punak bhavat, which is liable to birth, death, and old age. Shana ayusham, a persons who have only 100 years of life. Bharata Bhujaya, a birth in the land of Bharatvarsha. Varam, more valuable. Shanena, for such a short life. Martyena, by the body. Kritam, the work executed. Manasvina, those actually understanding the value of life. Sanyasya, surrendering unto the lotus feet of Krishna. Samyanti, they achieve. Abhayam, where there is no anxiety. Padam, the abode. Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A short life in the land of Bharatvarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years, because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Low life in Bharatvarsha, in a lower planetary system, is very short. One who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection even in this short life by fully surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body. Please repeat. A short life in the land of Bharatvarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years. Because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bharatvarsha, in a lower planetary system, is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection even in this short life by fully surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body. Purport. This is further confirmation of the statement given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bharta bhumite haila manusha janma yar janma sartaka kari kara paropakara. One who is taking birth in the land of Bharatvarsha has a full opportunity to study the direct instructions given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, and thus finally decide what to do in his human form of life. One should certainly give up all other propensities and surrender to Krishna. Krishna will then immediately take charge and relieve one of the results of past sinful life. Ahang tvang sarapapebhya mokshi syami ma suchaha. Therefore, one should take to Krishna consciousness, as Krishna himself recommends, manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer me obeisances. This is very easy even for a child. Why not take this path? One should try to follow the instructions of Krishna exactly, and thus become fully eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. One should go directly to Krishna and engage in his service. This is the best opportunity offered to the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha. One who is fit to return home back to Godhead is no longer liable to the results of karma, good or bad. So the verse again. Kalpayusham stanaya jayat punarbhavat shanayusham bharata bhujaya varam shanena martyena kritam manushvina manasvina sanyasya samyat yabayam pudam hare. Short life in the land of Bharatvarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years, because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bharatvarsha in a lower planetary system is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness, thus achieve the highest perfection, even in this short life, by fully surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in the material body. Mom Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Buddha Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvi Shesha Srinivadi Paskyadya De Satarne. Fortunately, we've taken birth in Bharatvarsha, and therefore we also have an opportunity to study Bhagavad Gita and to learn the process of surrendering to Krishna. In this age, the process that especially is recommended is hearing and chanting, culminating in hearing and chanting the holy name, or the holy names. So this is what's recommended for us. There may be many ideas, as Prahlad Maharaj said, Matirna Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Vratanam. That everyone more or less feels himself to be in some difficulty, because that's the nature of material experience. We're faced with the threefold and the fourfold miseries. Even if we're not so much conscious of the fourfold miseries, namely, birth, death, old age, and disease, still the miseries pertaining to this body, miseries pertaining to the mind, miseries containing to other living entities, and just the weather, the climate, whether it be Gulf oil, flooding Southern California, or whatever. It's always some kind of misery. But of course, in modern society, people are trying to overcome those miseries. But Matirna Krishne, they don't fix their minds on Krishna or hear Krishna's plan how to overcome those miseries, because they don't know what Krishna's plan is. Therefore, they must work forever planning to overcome the miseries, either by individual study or by group effort or by a combination of both. Everyone is working hard. But not only they don't get out of the miseries, they don't overcome the material concept of life. They remain absorbed in imagining themselves to be a material body and mind without any idea that they're actually the conscious soul within the body. Now, what does Krishna have to offer us? There are so many planning commissions, probably you say, the United Nations. There is so much effort by modern medicine, modern technology, to overcome the problems of material existence. And Krishna is saying that this is a shravam eva hi kevalam. It's a waste of time. So what are we supposed to be doing? So here it says, Krishna says, man mana. We're supposed to fix the mind upon Krishna. And how is it best to fix the mind upon Krishna? Well, simply to chant Krishna's name. That's what's recommended in this age. That's the beginning of fixing our mind upon Krishna. Of course, chanting Krishna's name has to be done in a certain mood. So, manmana bhava madbhakto, madhyaji mam namaskuru, mame vaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosime. So part of that mood is, or satatam kirtiyantomam yatantas cha drida vrataha namasyantas timam bhaktya nituta upasite. We have to offer obeisances to Krishna. Unfortunately, we've come to this material world and we're in the mood that we're Krishna's competitor. We may not like to always admit it, or we may not always be very conscious of it. Vayam dvitiya bhine veshitasyad isharapatasya viparyos mriti. Because we don't really realize what it means to be Krishna's competitor. Just as soon as we're looking at the objects in this material world with the idea of maybe controlling them or enjoying them, so, in that way, we're competing against Krishna. We may not be able to do it, although we may think we're doing it, but just the desire to do it, especially, is a desire to become Krishna. Now, most people will say it's completely normal that when a young boy sees a young girl, love appears in the heart. But our philosophy says it's not love. It's lust. And 99.9% of the world will become aghast to hear the Hare Krishnas. They have no love in their hearts. They're so cruel. They're throwing out romance. They're throwing out everything good in the material world. And all they're doing is negative. They're just negative. Everything's bad. The body's bad. The mind's bad. The demons are bad. Everyone's bad. The only thing that's good is them. They love themselves and no one else. And some Krishna that they talk about, but no one has ever seen. So the point is that we've been trained up with a certain idea of what is acceptable in the material world. Nowadays, of course, it hasn't come to the point where if a young boy sees a young girl, then immediately, like the dogs in the street, they have sex in the street. It hasn't come to that point. They're hoping to come to that point sometime, to be liberated from all restraints and be completely uninhibited. But the purpose of life is not to become an uninterrupted, unalloyed animal. The purpose of life is to learn sense control. And what is that sense and mind control? It means to discriminate what's to be done and what's not to be done. Therefore, one needs some intelligence to practice Krishna consciousness. One has to be able to watch one's activities and see, am I now engaged in Krishna's service, or am I engaged in the demands of the senses? And as soon as I'm engaged in the demands of the senses, more or less it's a declaration of war against Krishna, that I will become Krishna, or not the big Krishna, at least the little Krishna. Bhagavad Gita explains this. Therefore, people don't always like to hear Bhagavad Gita. It takes away the taste of life, of material life. It's a great disappointment for those who have worked hard since time immemorial to become Krishna, to find out that as soon as they even look at the objects of the senses, the illusory energy captures them by lust, and that lust that's capturing them, they're taking as the greatest enjoyment in life, and the Bhagavad Gita says it's the greatest suffering of life. Not very encouraging for the materialist. Therefore, the safest thing for materialists is to fall asleep as soon as they read Bhagavad Gita, because that way they don't have to bother with it. better just to buy the Bhagavad Gita, take it home, and you know, sleep under it. Maybe 10 million years I'll understand what it's all about. So the point is that we have to learn how to hear. And hear things that at the beginning is bitter like poison, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Hear that we're not the body, and that not only we're not the body, but we have to utilize the body in Krishna's service and not pay attention to the different emotions that are rising within our minds that we take as possibly enjoying or at least natural emotions. Lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion, and maybe we can add some more to that too. But those are the principal ones. But if we learn how to pay attention, well, first of all, we have to chant to Krishna submissively, namaschantas, that we're not Krishna. Now, of course, we can sit there in japa and try to chant the holy name. But if throughout the whole day we've been trying to compete against Krishna, either consciously or unconsciously, making our plans to become special in the material world, that's known as profit, adoration, and distinction, or just the regular jiva hingsa, cruelty to other living beings in all its different manifestation, and jiva hingsa, what is the other ones? No, we already mentioned that. Labha pratishta and what's that? No, there's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He first jiva hingsa, and then, you know, there are different types of aparads. And then it's labha pratishta and whatever, profit, adoration, and distinction. In any case, throughout the day, if we're engaged in our, what we could say, our God project, trying to become God, and then we try to sit down and chant Hare Krishna, obviously our mind is not going to be very submissive. We spent the whole day, 22 hours, trying to become God, and then for 2 hours we give it up, try to give it up. And notice, there's a few things around hanging in my mind about becoming God. Well, because we've been cultivating it for 22 hours. So what is our 2 hours going to do? Maybe make a little dent every day. But generally speaking, even when we're chanting, we still have our God project. It's just that with the chanting, it helps us become a little clearer how to fulfill it. Instead, we have to give it up and actually chant sincerely to Krishna to engage in his service. Now, people, we can say happily and so many different things, but actually, first of all, just give up the God project. Chant to Krishna, "My dear Lord, I'd like to become your servant. Happily or unhappily, at least become your servant." Then when we pay attention, then the result is we can actually associate with Krishna. And if we associate with Krishna and feel Krishna's presence, then we'll know what happiness is. Otherwise, we can say, chant happily. They say, I don't know where it came from. They say the Prabhupada said it was, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. But in any case, we'll become happy if we chant Hare Krishna and we listen with attention. The problem is, we think we have no time to listen with intention. We have too many things to hanker for and lament about. And we may say, well, I don't really want to hanker and lament. But just sit down and chant japa, and the mind will tell us so many things to lament about and so many things to hanker for. And if we associate enough with material energy, we'll add a few more things to hanker for and a few more things to lament about. Just read the newspapers. If you feel you don't have enough to lament about, just read the newspapers and they'll add a few things to lament about for you. And if you're not hankering, well, just watch a few movies and they'll tell you or watch television and go on the internet. They'll tell you what to hanker for. There's something always new to hanker for. On the other hand, if we just simply chant Hare Krishna and call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna and just pay attention, then the result is when we actually are conscious, then we'll feel transcendental pleasure by their association. And the result is we'll just be happy chanting Hare Krishna. And as we become satisfied chanting Hare Krishna, then the reactions, it says, to our previous activities. What is the reaction to our previous activities? It's simply our hankering to become God and lamenting over the fact that we can't do it. That's material existence. From Brahmaloka down to the little ant or the Indragopa germ, everyone is simply doing that, listening to their minds 24 hours a day, deciding what to hanker and lament over, or listening to our minds hankering and lamenting, and therefore constantly engaging our senses in different projects to become God here. Maybe on Brahmaloka it's less as we approach the mode of goodness, but even if there's a little bit, one cannot actually become satisfied. Certainly Brahma, compared to us, he's in ecstasy. But compared to the residents of Vaikuntha, who are actually in reality, who are in the present, relishing every moment, there's no comparison. Because as long as we're in the past or in the future and not in the present, we don't really experience things very intensely. All we do is experience the illusory dreams, the nightmares that we have. But if we pay attention to the holy name and enter into the spiritual existence, then our life actually begins again. Real life begins. As soon as we begin to chant Hare Krishna seriously, then our beginning of our life begins. And if we don't realize that our life begins again, then sometimes the devotees go out looking again for some illusory happiness and making plans how to avoid the distresses of material existence. And hopefully, within a lifetime or two, they'll come back again to revive their project to become the servant of Krishna rather than to become Krishna. The conclusion is we should check and see, what are my activities? Am I actually performing my activities as Krishna's servant, as he would want me to do, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, as it's coming down to simple succession? If not, consciously or unconsciously, we're engaged in some project to control material nature. So either I could avoid suffering, or I can get what I consider to be positive happiness. So I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Yes.
As devotees, you know, we are told about Kali Yuga a lot and all the negativity defects of Kali Yuga. And we're also told about the positive spiritual world and happiness. But at the same time, it appears that those that become real devotees, pure devotees of the Lord, they're unaffected by all the negativity of Kali Yuga. And it seems like it's a frame of consciousness. In other words, we hear that the pure devotee, he sees everything and everyone in the service of the Lord. So, although there are all these negativities of Kali Yuga, it appears it's our consciousness that needs to be rectified, because so many times we've heard and read from Srila Prabhupada that everything can be utilized in Krishna's service.
Practically.
Yeah, practically. There's the regulative principles, but still that can be used also in Krishna's service. And it appears that what really needs to be taking effect is our change of consciousness, our change of attitude. And in that way, Kali Yuga won't have any effect on us. That Kali Yuga won't be able to reside. Like, for instance, in the Bhagavatam, King Parikshit, he did give Kali an opportunity to reside in certain kind of circumstances. But as the king, he didn't allow those circumstances to exist. So Kali Yuga didn't have any place to be. So it appears that as devotees, we see that Kali Yuga is everywhere, but our activity should be not to create or make that opportune situation for Kali Yuga to reside. And that way we don't see Kali Yuga as being all these negative aspects, and we don't really care, you know, what's going on in Kali Yuga, and whatever is happening is happening. We're unconcerned. We're just concerned with serving the Lord in terms of consciousness.
Good. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.